You know, there are certain phrases in our culture that just get, they get beaten into the ground. They stop meaning anything because you hear them constantly. 6 degrees of separation is definitely top of that list.
It's become a total cliche. It's just shorthand for it's a small world.
Exactly.
You know, something you say when you run into your dentist on vacation or realize your new boss went to camp with your cousin.
Right. We treat it like a parlor game connecting actors to Kevin Bacon or just some dry statistic. But I was looking through the research for today, and I realized I had the history completely wrong.
Oh, yeah. How so?
I always assumed this was some scientific theory that pop culture just, you know, borrowed. But it's actually the other way around.
That is the big misconception. We think of 6 degrees as math, but it's actually art. Specifically, it's a story about loneliness.
That is such a heavy pivot from parlor game. But that's the mission for this deep dive.
Right.
We're going to trace this idea from a Hungarian short story in the 1920s through this massive academic misunderstanding with a famous sociologist, and then land on the piece of art that actually branded the concept, John Guare's 1990 play.
And we have to ask the ultimate question. Guare wrote a play about how desperate we are to connect, but do the modern algorithms, I'm talking Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, do they prove him right? Or have they actually solved the problem he was writing about?
Okay, let's start at the beginning. Because if you asked me, or probably anyone listening, where this idea comes from, I'd guess the internet age.
The 90s, maybe?
Yeah, maybe the early 90s when the web was starting to shrink the world.
You'd be off by about 60 years.
60? Wow!
The concept actually originates from a short story published in 1929.
So we are talking about a world before commercial jet travel, before television, certainly before the internet.
Right. This was written by a Hungarian author, Frigyes Kerinthy. The story is called Chains.
Or Chain Links, I saw it translated as.
Sometimes, yeah. He published it in a collection called Everything is Different. And that title is just perfect because Kerinthy was observing that the 20th century was fundamentally changing the physics of human connection.
I read the summary, and his big insight wasn't really about the population size, right? Because there were only, what, 1.5 billion people on Earth then?
Exactly. His point was about density. He realized that technology, telegraphs, trains, the speed of news was shrinking the social distance way faster than the physical distance. The world was becoming a tighter web.
And to prove it, the characters in his story play a game.
They do, and it's eerily similar to what we do today. One of the characters makes a bet. He says, select any person. Anyone, anywhere at all.
Okay.
And he claims he can contact them using nothing but his own network of personal acquaintances with no more than 5 intermediaries.
5 intermediaries, which equals 6 steps.
Precisely. It was just a fictional thought experiment. He was basically saying, look how dense this new modern world is. I bet I can reach a rivet maker at the Ford factory in Detroit just by asking my friend who knows a guy who knows a guy.
It's wild that a fiction writer nailed the math before the mathematicians did. But this brings us to the science part of the story.
Right.
Because for decades, this was just a literary idea. Then, in the 1960s, Stanley Milgram enters the chat.
Stanley Milgram, a titan in sociology. Most people know him for the obedience experiment.
The electric shock ones.
Yeah, those ones. But in 1967, he conducted the small world problem experiment.
This is the one with the packages, right?
Yes. Milgram wanted to see if Kerinthy's fiction actually held up. So he gave packages to random people in places like Wichita, Kansas.
In Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, right. And their mission was to get the package to a very specific target purser, a stockbroker in Boston.
But the catch was they couldn't just, you know, mail it directly to Boston.
Right. That would be cheating. They could only send the package to someone they knew on a first-name basis who they thought might be closer to the stockbroker.
So it's like a chain letter, but based on social intuition.
Exactly. And it wasn't a perfect system. A lot of the packages never even made it. People just couldn't figure out who to send it to, or maybe they just couldn't be bothered.
Sure.
But for the ones that did arrive, Milgram analyzed the chains. And he found that the average number of steps was between 5 and 6.
Okay, so Milgram proves it. He does the science. He finds the number is roughly 6. So why did you say earlier that there's a massive academic misunderstanding?
Because Milgram never used the phrase 6 degrees of separation.
Wait, really? I see his name attached to that phrase in textbooks all the time.
It's an academic urban myth. Milgram called it the small world problem. He talked about intermediaries and path lengths. But the branding, that sticky poetic phrase, 6 degrees of separation, that didn't come from the scientists.
It came from the playwright.
Exactly. The science identified the network, but the art gave it a name. Which brings us to the real centerpiece of this deep dive, John Guare.
John Guare, American playwright. He writes Six Degrees of Separation in 1990. Mm-hmm. It's a huge hit, gets nominated for a Pulitzer, and then becomes a movie in 93 with Will Smith, Donald Sutherland, and Stockard Channing.
And what's so fascinating is that Guare wasn't reading sociology papers.
Yeah.
In interviews, he said he wasn't thinking about Milgram at all. He attributed his awareness of the concept to Marconi.
Guglielmo Marconi,
yeah.
The inventor of the radio.
The very same. Guare was obsessed with this idea of invisible waves connecting people across vast distances. He took that technological concept, radio waves, and just applied it to the invisible social waves between all of us.
Which is funny because the play isn't about technology at all. It's about a con artist.
Right. The plot follows this young man, Paul, who charms his way into the lives of a wealthy Upper East Side couple by pretending to be the son of Sidney Poitier. It's a story about race and class and social climbing, but the thematic core is this desperate need to bridge the gap between people.
There is a specific monologue in that play that I really want to drill down into.
Hmm.
It's delivered by the character Ouiza, the mother.
Yeah.
I feel like this speech is the moment the phrase 6 degrees stops being a statistic and starts being a philosophy.
It is the defining moment. Do you have the text there?
I do, she says. I read somewhere that everybody on this planet is separated by only 6 other people. 6 degrees of separation between us and everyone else on this planet. The president of the United States, a gondolier in Venice. Just fill in the names.
There's the gondolier image everyone remembers, but keep going because the next part is where she really twists the knife.
She says, I find it A, extremely comforting that we're so close, and B, like Chinese water torture. But we're so close because you have to find the right 6 people to make the right connection. I am bound to everyone on this planet by a trail of 6 people.
That duality is everything. Extremely comforting and Chinese water torture.
Let's unpack that torture part.
Yeah.
Because usually we think of being connected as a good thing. Why is it torture?
Well, think about it. Milgram showed that the chains exist, but he also showed that people often fail to complete them.
Right.
The torture is the invisibility. You are mathematically close to everyone, to the person who could give you your dream job, the person you could fall in love with, the person who could save your life. They are standing right there, metaphorically speaking. But unless you find the exact right sequence of 6 people, they might as well be on Mars.
It's the so close yet so far paradox. It's like being locked in a room where you know the key is hidden somewhere, but you just can't see it.
Exactly. Guare turned a neutral statistic into an existential crisis. The play suggests that we're all intimately connected, yet we feel profoundly isolated because we don't know the path.
We're just stuck.
We're stuck in our own little clusters, knowing this potential for connection exists, but being completely unable to access it.
It really reframes the whole concept. It's not, wow, small world. It's, why is it so hard to reach you?
And that tension is what drives the play. The character Paul, the con man, he's essentially trying to hack the system. He doesn't have the right 6 people, so he invents a persona to skip all the steps.
Yeah.
He forces the connection.
Speaking of the film adaptation, there's a great little detail about the cast that kind of proves the theory in real life. Do you know who played Doug in the movie?
I do, and it's a perfect example of how these networks actually operate in Hollywood.
It was J.J. Abrams.
Mm.
Years before he created Lost or directed Star Wars. Mm-hmm. He was just a working actor getting a small role in this movie.
Which means everyone in that cast, Will Smith, Ian McKellen, Stockard Channing, now has a direct link to the Star Wars universe. The network just grows and solidifies over time.
Which transitions us to the part of the story everyone knows, the game.
Right.
Because after the play in the movie, this concept just exploded.
Yeah.
I didn't see in the theater, went to college dorms.
The Kevin Bacon game.
We all know the game, but I love the origin story. It wasn't some mathematician trying to prove a theorem.
No.
It was 3 students at Albright College in Pennsylvania watching Footloose during a snowstorm.
And they had a hunch. They just kept seeing Kevin Bacon's name over and over. They actually wrote a letter to Jon Stewart, who had a talk show at the time, claiming that Kevin Bacon was the center of the entertainment universe.
It sounds like a joke, but it actually inadvertently popularized the science of network theory.
It did. It's the same principle as the Erdős number for mathematicians, which tracks collaboration distances to the famous mathematician Paul Erdős.
So whether it's actors or math papers, we started mapping the world as a graph.
Yep.
Okay, so we've got the fiction, the play, and the game. But we still need to answer the big question.
Is it true?
Yeah. I mean, does the real world actually align with Guari's vision? Because Milgram's study was relatively small. He had a few hundred packages. We have billions of people now. Mm. When we look at the hard data, are we actually 6 degrees apart?
Well, this is where we leave the philosophy and get into the server farms. And the answer, interestingly, is that John Guari might have been a little pessimistic.
Pessimistic. You mean we're closer than 6 degrees?
Much closer. In 2007, Microsoft researchers Jur Leskovec and Eric Horvitz conducted what was, at the time, one of the largest social experiments ever. They didn't use packages. They used Microsoft Messenger.
I remember Messenger. So they looked at chat logs.
They analyzed the metadata of 30 billion conversations among 240 million people.
30 billion. That's a data set Milgram couldn't have even dreamed of.
Not even close. And when they mapped out the network, treating every person as a node and every conversation as a link, they found the average path length was 6.6.
6.6, okay.
So in 2007, the 6 degrees rule was holding up pretty well.
Okay, so Guari was right on the money for 2007. But 2007 is, I mean, that's pre-smartphone saturation. It's pre-Facebook dominance.
Correct. And that's where the numbers really start to crash. Facebook's data team has run this analysis multiple times. In 2008, the average distance was 5.28.
Okay.
But as the network grew, the distance shrank. By 2011, with 721 million users, the average separation had dropped to 4.74.
4.74 degrees. So we shaved off more than a whole degree in just a few years.
And it kept shrinking. By 2016, Facebook had 1.6 billion users. They ran the numbers again. The average degrees of separation, 4.57.
That is incredibly tight.
It gets even tighter. Mm-hmm. If you look at Twitter or X now, studies showed even more direct connections because the platform is open. You don't need mutual approval to follow someone.
Right, right.
An optimal algorithm back in 2011 could find a connection between random Twitter users in an average of just 3.43
steps. 3.43
steps.
That's basically a friend of a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the distance between me and, I don't know, a pop star in Tokyo.
Theoretically, yes. We are hyper-connected in ways that Frege's Carinthy or John Guari could scarcely imagine. The density Carinthy wrote about in 1929 has become, well, a singularity.
But this brings us back to the Chinese water torture problem. Because if the data proves we are hyper-connected, does that mean the torture is over?
That is the ultimate question. Let's look at Guari's metaphor again. He said it was torture because you have to find the right 6 people. Mm-hmm. In 1990, finding those people was a complete mystery. It was luck.
Right. You had to hope your uncle knew a guy. But now, LinkedIn literally tells me, you have 14 mutual connections with this person. It draws the map for me.
Exactly. The torture of the search has been removed by technology. The path is visible. The algorithm just says, here is the chain.
So, problem solved. We shouldn't be lonely anymore.
Well, I'd argue the opposite. Think about what Wiza said. She found the closeness comforting. But today, are we comforted by the fact that we can see everyone? Or are we just overwhelmed?
That's a good point. Just because I can reach you in 4 steps on Facebook doesn't mean we have a meaningful relationship. It just means we exist in the same database.
Right. The math works. The science is settled. The degrees of separation are shrinking. But the 6 degrees concept in the play wasn't just about the capability to connect. It was about the quality of that connection.
It's the difference between a link on a graph and a handshake. In real life.
Exactly. Guari was writing about the human desire to be known, to be seen. Technology has solved the logistics, it has built all the bridges, but it hasn't necessarily given us the courage to cross them.
It's so ironic. We built these massive machines, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, to prove the theory right. We proved we were all connected, but we might feel more isolated than the characters in the play ever did.
Because the mystery is gone. The potential is no longer a romantic what if, it's just a list of contacts on a screen.
So where did that leave us?
I think it leaves us with a challenge. The structures are there, the 4.57 degrees are real, but the torture Guari wrote about has shifted. It's no longer the torture of not knowing how to connect, it's the torture of having the connection right in front of you and realizing you still have to put in the human effort to make it real.
That is a fascinating place to land. We spent 100 years from Carinthy's fiction to Facebook's servers, building the map. And now we just have to actually walk the territory.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Hmm.
The algorithm can find the path, but it can't walk it for you.
Well, on that note, I'm going to go check my LinkedIn and see who I'm ignoring. A huge thank you to everyone listening to this deep dive.
And remember, you're only a few handshakes away from basically anyone. Use that power wisely.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.